This episode is sponsored by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. Have you heard about the Resident Orthopedic Core Knowledge Program? The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons has partnered with leading experts in the field to bring you ROCK, the online learning platform developed for U.S. residency programs. Free to residents, ROCK empowers you to build a foundation to prepare you for the OITE and ABOS Part 1 exam. And remember, access to the ROCK content is free for residents. Get started at rock.aaos.org.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Nailed It Ortho podcast. We hope that you are enjoying these episodes. And we are on to oncology. We hope that you are learning some things on oncology. I think this is maybe our fourth episode of oncology. And we're going to talk some more onc. We hope that you all have been enjoying it, have been learning. And check out the OITE review podcast companion book that goes along with these notes or along with this podcast, and enjoy the episode.
You are now listening to Nailed It, the Orthopedic Surgery Podcast, featuring Drs. Jay Fitz and Wendell Cole.
I remember seeing a question on this, so put it in here. What is the Enneken classification of benign bone tumors?
So these are probably not testable, but they're useful still in like clinical. The difference between regular numbers versus using Roman numerals, but for benign bone tumors, it's regular numbers, Arabic numbers. So 1, 2, and 3, 1 is inactive and latent like an enchondroma. 2 is active, like a chondroblastoma, aneurysmal bone cyst, or a giant cell tumor. And 3 is aggressive, so like the giant cell tumors that are rapidly expanding, or ones that have metastasized to the lungs, that while they're a benign lesion, they can metastasize to the lungs. That would be an Enneken 3 for a benign bone tumor. So we're thinking Arabic numbers, not Roman numerals. However, as you'll hear in a couple of seconds, it changes for the Enneken classifications of malignant bone tumors. So what's the classification for malignant bone tumors?
Yeah, so this is going to be with the Roman numerals. And I remember I got this, I think one of these questions, it was just like this, and it had the Arabic numbers that are Roman numerals, and I knew it was 2, and I was like, ah, oh, crap, like, which 2 is it?
Yep.
And so for malignant bone tumor, it's just going to be the Roman numerals. So it's going to be 1, 2, and 3. Again, all Roman numerals for malignant bone tumors. 1 is going to be low grade. So you're going to have A and then B. So 1A is going to be intracompartmental. 1B is going to be extracompartmental. So grade 2, you're going to have high grade. 2A is going to be intracompartmental. And 2B is going to be extracompartmental. And then 3 is when you're going to have metastatic disease. So any type of metastatic disease is going to be 3. And most of the times what I've seen, then like ask the questions and they'll show you the MRI and you'll see the lesion expanding into the soft tissues, but they'll put that it has not invaded the lymph nodes and no metastases. And so it's almost like that is 2B. I've seen them ask about 2B multiple times and in multiple different questions. So I think that's one thing we may need to note. And those are the classifications. We need to know the Enneken classification. Again, for benign bone tumors, it's 1, 2, 3 Arabic. For malignant bone tumors, it's Roman numerals. But what are some benign bone-producing lesions?
So you'll get consulted a lot, probably as a resident. I get consulted a lot for this, and it drives me nuts. But for things called enostoses, which are just bone islands. So basically, you'll get a AP of the pelvis, and they'll see a 5 mm by 7 mm, just bright white spot superior to the acetabulum. The general practitioner tells the patient that they have bone cancer and they're going to die in the next 3 months. And then they come and see me and they're totally fine. So an enostosis is just a bone island. An osteoma is the same kind of bone producing lesion, but it's in the cortex. And the craziest story I have about this is a guy came to my clinic and he had a skull osteoma that was causing him pain, and the neurosurgeons in town didn't want to touch it because they were like, no, there's no way that this is a real thing. So I take this guy to the OR with an osteoma of his skull, and I'm burring down his skull so it's flat, and I'm terrified that I'm going to get into this guy's brain and cause gigantic freaking issues. I'm also in board collection, mind you, so this is like, I'm just like being stupid all around. But then he comes back for post-op, and he's like, all my pain is gone. I don't have headaches anymore. And I was like, all right, well, maybe it was that thing, but I wasn't entirely convinced until he said he was better after surgery. Oh, so man. They're not all asymptomatic lesions. Then you have an osteoid osteoma, which you'll see, maybe not see many times in residency from a actual patient you get consulted on, but they love testing on it because it's a very easily testable thing. It's a cortical-based lesion that has a central sclerotic lesion with a rim of lucency, and the pain gets better with NSAIDs. And then there's osteoblastomas, which are pediatric tumors, because in pediatric patients, that's when their bone is growing. So that's when all the osteoblasts are very active, and sometimes they get a little too active, and it's an epiphyseal tumor, and the osteoblastoma forms in the epiphysis of kids. And then what's the thing you should be concerned about in a patient who is under 30 and has night pain that's relieved by NSAIDs?
This episode is sponsored by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. Are you an orthopedic resident? Then you need to know about ROC. It's a new resident orthopedic core knowledge program developed by the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. Created for U.S. residency programs and free to residents, ROC covers 11 subspecialties and is filled with in-depth, comprehensive content and quizzes that have been authored and vetted by some of the leading experts in orthopedics. This all-in-one curriculum will give you the foundation and knowledge you need to become a successful, board-certified orthopedic surgeon. And remember, access to ROC content is free to residents. Get started at rock.aaos.org.
Yeah, so that's like a classic presentation that they'll give you for an osteoid osteoma. And the reason that NSAIDs helps relieve the pain is because this tumor produces high level of PGE2 prostaglandins E. And so many times I've seen the questions, and again, they'll show like a CT scan. It's seen on CT best. Sometimes it could be misdiagnosed as a stress fracture because it's a geographic eccentric lesion. But what you'll see, what you just mentioned, is you're going to have a sclerotic wound around a radial lucentitis. And one of the things, I knew that, and then they had some third-tier questions. Osteoid osteoma can cause secondary scoliosis and paraspinal pain if this is located in the spine. And remember, we talked about earlier that osteoid osteoma and osteoid blastoma are some tumors that may be a little bit more common in the posterior elements of the spine. And when you get histology, so say, for example, we look on the histology, what does osteoid osteoma look like?
Yeah, so on histology, you're going to see woven bone with a rim of osteoblasts. And there's not going to be any pleomorphism. They're going to be normal looking osteoblasts. It's just this woven, not the most organized bone with these osteoblasts, like you said, that are producing this prostaglandin E2 that responds well to the NSAIDs. And then just like we talked about, the treatment for these is the NSAIDs, but then you can have, if it stops responding to the NSAIDs, then you can excise this on block or just curettage, or you can do radiofrequency ablation. And basically the decision to do excision versus radiofrequency ablation comes down to where the osteoid osteoma is. So because the RFA uses either very hot or very cold temperatures, you don't want to use it like in a finger where it's close to the neurovascular bundle or close to the skin and can cause necrosis of the skin, or next to the spine or exiting nerve root. So if you have a osteoid osteoma in the spine or the finger, almost all the time, those are going to be the ones that you do surgery on to remove either en bloc or through curettage. But things like an osteoid osteoma in the calcar of the femur, you're going to use like a radio frequency ablation for that, because there's not a lot of really important neurovascular structures right around that area of the femur. And what are some of the differences seen in osteoblastoma that make it different from osteoid osteoma?
Yeah, so in osteoblastoma, this is going to be similar on the histology, but the lesion is going to be a little bit bigger, like you said. So it's going to be a greater than 2 centimeter lesion. And you can treat these with like an intralesional shin or curettage, plus or minus some grafting, depending on the defect that's present. And again, just to repeat, the posterior spine elements are going to be common for, again, these osteoid osteomas and osteoblastomas. And so what are some benign lesions? Again, we're going to blast it. I'll just say it. Lesions, again, found in the posterior spine elements are going to be aneurysmal bone cyst, osteoblastoma, and osteoid osteoma. So those are going to be some common things there.
You can also see osteochondromas back there.
Oh, yes, osteochondromas. I think we mentioned it. I have to put it here.
Yep. I had one coming off the posterior or the just the spinous process that had it was an MAG patient. And it had malignant transformation into a chondrosarcoma.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But good news is that those are always low grade. And so it's still just resection. But that was the first one I had seen and treated that had the malignant transformation. You hear about it, you're tested about it, but you never see it until you do. So
the real thing. That's it for benign bone forming tumors. I guess we might as well just go on to some malignant bone forming tumors. Thank you all for listening to yet another episode of the Nailed It Ortho Podcast. We hope that you are continuing to enjoy our board review series, and we hope that you have at least told one friend about it at this point. You know, if you're a loyal listener, at least tell one or two people about it. Hopefully, you all can learn something and share the knowledge. So without further ado, we'll see everybody next episode.